Today's episode of the Roma Press Podcast is presented by BetUS. The international break is over and football is back. Visit BetUS.com to get the very latest odds throughout all of Europe's biggest leagues, including Serie A, the Premier League, and La Liga. You can also visit romapress.net/bet to claim your 125% sign up bonus. Again, betus.com or go to romapress.net/bet.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Okay, I don't know whether to say welcome back or not to begin this one, Andy, because I think this may be the first time where I actually wished an international break was a bit more prolonged. Nonetheless, welcome back, everybody, to the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing very well. It's been a little bit. I think our last episode was 10 days ago. One of the few times where, again, I have fully embraced an international break, and I actually lament that it is not longer. I think everybody, both club players, even supporters, could have used a bit more time off. I am a bit bitter that it is ending so quickly, or at least it seems to be ending so quickly. Andy, you feel the same, yeah?
Yeah.
Come on. I know you do.
Yeah. And, yes. But I must say that sometimes just it feels the international break just, it is a cathartic moment, usually, at least as a Roma fan, because you usually arrive and you are exhausted. Despite it being the opening to the season, for some reason, I always either feel exhausted or kind of annoyed that it has to stop, you know, because when you're on a roll, you want to keep the momentum going and so on. But this time around, I think more or less it was needed. It was a time. And mind you, listen, knock on wood, also nothing terrible happened, because usually that's also the case for international breaks. Something terrible happens. Somebody gets injured. Somebody gets tired playing for their national team. And, you know, you have players sitting out as a result of it. And
yes,
this was not the case this time around. We seem to have managed to recover Pellegrini, El Shaarawy, Kumbulla. Paulo Dybala left, went to join his Argentina side, didn't play in any of the friendlies for Argentina. So some of the players that needed more playing time, like Zaleski, like Celik, played a lot. So that's good. You know,
Tammy Abraham, unfortunately, nothing.
But then you have Roger Ibanez, who sort of gets rewarded for being really good so far this year. So I think all in all, for a September international break, this has been quite a positive experience for Roma fans.
It certainly could have gone much worse. As you alluded to, we are used to things going much worse during the international break. I mean, during the peak Rudy Garcia years, it seemed like we were accounting every international break, we were losing at least one person per break. So to certainly go through the stop unscathed, knock on wood, as you said, is obviously a good thing. Now, how Roma approached this match at the weekend with Inter, or I guess how you, as you know, how supporters view this match at the weekend, I'm very curious to see, because I would have preferred Roma to have found their bearings a bit, start off a bit slower, ease their way back into it. I don't know how great it is to begin with the match against Inter, but if you want to take it from the other point of view, certainly Roma will have to be up for it immediately. They cannot, and obviously they will be aware of this. They can't begin slowly. They can't be, they can't allow themselves to use fatigue or allow themselves to use any of the other alibis as an excuse, because you are beginning with, I won't say decisive, because that's a word that's tossed about way too often and way too prematurely at times. However, it is still an important match nonetheless. And beyond that too, it comes after one of the most frustrating, head-scratchingly annoying, painful kick to the groin experiences that we've seen from Roma, a match where by all the available data and by all of our working eyeballs, they should have beaten, or at minimum drawn, Atalanta. They didn't. So now, how do they respond? That's what I'm curious to see. Because we have, as you said, Paulo Dybala did not play. Tammy Abraham, how we view him playing or not playing for the English national team, I don't know. Clearly, the guy has been suffering from a mental point of view over these last couple of weeks. Perhaps he could have used a goal just to help boost his confidence ahead of this one. But I don't know. How do you view this one? Because it's a very curious match. Just all of the recipes, or I'm sorry, all of the ingredients, I guess, coming into this one are very particular, because you are coming off a very disappointing result. The guys that you think could have used this break the most and maybe could have used a mental boost, you know, seeing the back of the net, like Tammy Abraham with their national teams, didn't play or didn't factor into their respective national teams' fixtures. So now you're in this very curious spot where I don't necessarily know if you feel better now than you did immediately after the loss against Atalanta. How are you feeling?
This is a bizarre moment. I think both teams are coming off a difficult stretch and find themselves in a difficult position and situation in the league and result-wise, and also just in terms of performances. Both teams have to find like some sort of magic potion to solve their troubles, because Inter defensively, they've been a mess this year, which is odd for a team with that backline. And whereas Roma, with on the other end, the team that supposedly has this great attack, an attack that creates a lot, have failed to score. And so you have two teams that in theory should be up there in, you know, at the top in what they're best at: attack, defense, creativity, solidity. And instead they've underperformed, and it's not granted that they find the solution right away. It's not. It may be a process. So I expect, you know, when we'll get to later on what we think of this game, I can already say that I expect a very, very tough match, both from, you know, from the actual performance to what we as supporters are subjected to.
Let's get to that now, because I have to tell you, part of me wants to say, I think we should all expect. Do we? You and I certainly do, but maybe others have. They don't have the level of PTSD that you and I do. I mean, those two matches, okay? Again, well, the one against the Coppa Italia was obviously better, but do you remember those matches against Inter last season, Andy, over within 15 minutes?
Yeah, the first one. Definitely. It was, but that was,
I mean,
that was
certainly we have
definitely
to expect
a
more.
Both a different Roma and a different Inter. That Inter was still coming off the Antonio Conte high. you know, developing under a new manager who had basically inherited a very well-oiled machine, and it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't even fair. It looked, that was probably, I think it also for Mourinho, that was the worst loss. And I think he said it on a few occasions that that was for him the toughest one, because there was just no, it was match over, done. You were not even part of the game. So going into this one, we are looking at two teams that are really sort of licking their own wounds and trying to find out if they can indeed be better, because they've been labeled good. Roma have, you know, have the Fantastic Four. Inter are still have still the structure and the personalities that have won the Scudetto with Antonio Conte. And where is all of that? Where's all of that glamour, that glitz, that ability, that flash? I don't, you know, we haven't seen that so far for both teams. So that's why I think this is going to be just two sides just chipping away, banging at each other, banging at the door, trying to break through, which is what they've been trying to do since the beginning of the season. And we saw that for Roma in Atalanta. That was the prime example. That was the epitome of the whole problem. A team that is capable of yes. knocking on that door, but they cannot seem to tear it down. And when you face a side like Atalanta, when you face a side like Inter, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's take a very brief break and we will be right back.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. After completing the renovation, follow up with the customer to ensure their satisfaction and address any remaining concerns. Provide maintenance tips and guidance to help them preserve the results of the renovation for years to come. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of concreteness. I mean, this is the very last club or team that you can do it against. This Inter, I don't know what to expect from them, because you've already mentioned it. They've had so many highs almost canceled out by these lows. I mean, they have not been consistent at all this season. It's been very surprising, because I think most had them as the favorites for the Scudetto, them and Juve. And oddly enough, as far as underwhelming relative to expectations, I mean, those two, you won't find a bigger gap than those two at the moment. So, as you said, you have two teams in Roma, Inter, who, what many thought, the areas in which they would succeed, those are the areas of the pitch where they're not doing well. I mean, for you, considering who is and who is not available, unless I'm mistaken, currently the only person that we will certainly be without is Karsdorp. He has the knee issue. But beyond that, Roma, they will not be missing any major name. Zaniolo will be there. He was not called up for the Azzurri, neither was Spinazzola. Certainly a good thing, in my opinion, for both of them. And then Tammy will be there. Paulo Dybala will be there. So, I mean, it's not as if absences can be an alibi for Roma. You could make the case easily, in my opinion, that Celik has been ahead of Karsdorp in terms of performance this season, at least. So everybody's going to be at Roma's disposal. On the other side, who are they going to be missing? I believe just the Bronze.
Brozovic, Lukaku. They're getting back Çalhanoğlu. Mkhitaryan is back training. So you can expect, and listen, I mean, you look at that starting lineup, potentially Mkhitaryan and Dzeko. You know, I'm not a betting man, but
you believe thing called
it's right there for the taking. It's activated, it's ready to go, it's ready to take off. It's like prime Silvio Berlusconi in the Bunga Bunga years on a yacht with underage girls. It's right there. It's red hot. Whoa. Man. It's red hot. So we gotta brace ourselves, because you have the weird situation of two teams in a difficult moment. I do think that overall Roma are going into this match advantaged personnel wise. You know, despite everything, as we said in the opening to this episode, we've been quite lucky over this international break. Mourinho was able to work, for example, with guys like Belotti, like Camara, like Spinazzola and Zaniolo, which wasn't something you take for granted. Up until a year ago, I mean, you look around, who was left, you know, once the international break started.
Right.
This time around, it was important because Mourinho got a chance to work on the guys who needed that additional intensity that was probably missing, lacking from their legs. Somebody like Belotti, who spent all summer long training individually, or somebody like Camara, who's trying to fit in and maybe he's finding it difficult and to you know, to get used to things and. Spinazzola, who started off and the year quite so and so, recognizes that he's still far from the player that he used to be before the injury. Zaniolo could only improve during this break, I think. You got, listen, yes. I mean, there you go. You got Brian Cristante being the absolute hero in Roberto Mancini's squad. And this, once again, it's mind-blowing how a guy who gets slandered and hated like none other player.
Yes.
The guy has been used all the time with coaches like Gasperini, Di Francesco, Fonseca, Mourinho, and Roberto Mancini. All five coaches, whenever they had the chance to rely on Cristante, they've done so. You could, you know, all those coaches had other options. They could have played anybody else in the midfield, but for some reason they opted to play Cristante. Now, with Italy, I thought Cristante was brilliant. He was playing as a mezzala. He was great. He was allowed to go forward. He was allowed to sort of venture where he's not allowed to venture with Roma, because he's being placed as a sort of central midfielder along with Matic, and that doesn't work. But if you put Brian Cristante in a position to succeed, I think he is the guy. And that's also a confidence boost for a player that, you know, probably has to hear all kinds of criticisms no matter what, even though he has this weird dynamic, these two different worlds. He has a world where Mourinho loves him, the locker room loves him. He's the... He is vice captain after Mancini. He is a guy who's respected by all players. He's a guy who is adored by De Rossi, but at the same time, supporters don't like him, and supporters
11 Cristante. Yeah,
so it's a bizarre situation. But I think this was good. This was probably very good for his morale, for his confidence, and now we're going into this match. I think, as I said, personnel-wise, in better circumstances than Inter. But it comes down to which team can figure out its own solution as soon as possible. Which team can do it quicker. And that will eventually determine the outcome of Saturday night. It will be a matter of whether Simone Inzaghi can get his team to react and whether Jose Mourinho can get his team to capitalize. That's been the case. Inter have been asleep this opening of the season. Roma instead have been overdoing the simplest of things, overdoing them to the point that they've been messing them up. So now it's time to play simple, play easy, not get stressed, don't let it get into your head, because I think that's also why the international break is good in these situations, because you see these players who have to watch as the ball just goes anywhere but in the back of the net, right? And like somebody like Eldor Shomurodov feels like crap. He doesn't get playing time. He doesn't, you know, when he's on, like in Atalanta, he misses these chances, and that has to be frustrating, and that has to really kill your confidence. But then off you go to Uzbekistan, and he is, I think he's even ahead of
scoring in bunches.
He's even ahead
guy.
Of yeah. Messi in terms of how many goal contributions he's had with his national team over the last year or so. So that for some players will be key. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case for Abraham. I thought if there is one player that needed a confidence boost, it was Abraham. But, you know, what better game than a game at the San Siro for Abraham to really... No, I'm not even asking for a goal. I'm just asking for him to show the leadership that he'd shown previously, the leadership that he was known for last year. Even when things weren't going his way scoring-wise, he was still contributing. And this... playing a crucial away game at the San Siro with thousands of, you know, Inter supporters booing you, it's the perfect place right. for magic to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I he definitely just looks off. And the thing too is, do we remember last season? He wasn't exactly scoring in bunches to begin the season. If we remember, the first 2 months, if I believe, he only had, I believe, through 10 league appearances, it was only two league goals, maybe three. I might be wrong by a goal or two, but if we remember, it's not as if he began scoring right away at Roma last season. However, he just looks... very as if something is weighing on him from a mental point of view, particularly against Atalanta. Man, that poor guy looked like he was pressing, like he had the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And you could just tell that he was almost believing in his own mind that no matter what he did, he was not going to score a goal. And it was difficult to see him like that. And even he knew it, because what does he do immediately? At full time, he goes onto Instagram and says, I'm going to be better moving forward, so on and so forth. And I really hope that he can pull through and pull something out, because I think that's exactly what the doctor would prescribe for him. Because a goal, as you said, at the San Siro in a match like this, it really can do wonders. I want to go back to what you said about Cristante, because I'm convinced you listen to my patron-only podcast where
every
I
time,
talked
man.
About this guy, because Pepe Riis saw his agent. I was completely unplugged from social media, but I'm sure some wrote about it. He is leaking to everybody that a contract renewal is close, and even to myself, it's now gone from something, you know, kind of whispered about that's pretty open now. Cristante, he is going to sign a contract renewal until 2027. And it's so interesting, because anytime we publish something, okay, on Cristante, you will not find a more, as you said, a more 180 degree difference to how this guy is viewed by the professionals compared to how the supporters view him. It is unbelievable to me. Do you want to go back? And if we go back to Euro 2020, I mean, if there is one department that the Azzurri are pretty well stocked in, it's the midfield. And yet, Sir Brian Cristante, the Canadian wonder, is one of the first guys off of the bench for Roberto Mancini. Clearly, Andy, this is why, you know, Jose Mourinho, Mancini, they are working professional football while you and I are here recording a podcast talking about them. They see something that we don't. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I could not even give you.
But remember that famous De Rossi quote in Cristante's year at the club, which was probably the worst year because he was really.
Yeah, but still, with him quitting too, he's played with so many legends, and this is the guy
he was being like used everywhere by Di Francesco and then Ranieri. He just was. He basically represented the state of confusion, utter chaos that Roma were in 2018, 2019. And De Rossi, in his farewell press conference, sat down and said, "I would pay out of my own pocket to have 100." Guys like Cristante, who work so hard and just do anything for the badge, and that's all you need to know. There is something, and I've always seen flashes of it, and I've always been attracted to rooting for the guy. And every time he puts in a really good performance, and it goes unseen, I try to bring it up because this is a very odd situation. It's very easy, I think, for fans to dislike a player, but to this extent, wow. And then you have this completely different world that he's dealing with a club that loves him, a manager that adores him, teammates that respect him. You know, how can you argue against that? I don't know. It's a very bizarre. It's really bizarre. I don't know what it says about the club or the direction they're heading or what they believe in, you know, because you read so many things as, if he renews, he's still going, you know, Roma are bringing in a major midfielder. And so that means that Cristante is going to end up on the bench. And I always wonder, like, really? Like, all the signs don't indicate that Roma, Mourinho, the people in the management perceive Cristante as a bench player. He is actually considered a key presence on the pitch, in the locker room. So for whatever reason, he's always there. And he's always been there. In the Euro 2020, when Mancini needed energy and also a sense of security off the bench, he'd put Cristante on. So to keep the guys calm on the pitch in the final minutes, or you know, to put the foot on the pedal, he put Cristante on. So that's unbelievable that we are still talking about this guy like he's some sort of you know, just lab subject, like something that needs to be studied and dissected.
Maybe he does, because I am convinced, because this is what I said too. And let's also consider something. This was not just your typical rumors either. I can tell you unequivocally, Juve, they were trying to get him in the summer. They had contact with Pepe Riso, so did Milan. There is a reason, and I don't know what it is. This is why you and I are not professionals in professional football. Clearly, there is something there. I think the reason, or maybe part of the reason, Andy, is I've mentioned this on here before, but you know, my simple rule of thumb for a player is if I cannot name one thing, one characteristic, one attribute that you excel at, then you know you just are not good enough to be at a club like Roma. Andy, everything Brian Cristante does on the pitch is unsexy. It's not flashy.
It's
bland. He is not the Lamborghini, okay, sports car, but he is that reliable car that you can drive for like 25 to 30 years that will get you to your destination without issue. That's the only way I can think of him, because there is not one thing he does that stands out. Now, before he comes to Roma, he's at Atalanta. And he what? What was it? 9 league goals? 10 league goals? Something like that? And we're thinking to ourselves, okay, wow. this is going to be an added presence for the attack. He can score. He can do a little bit of everything. He can play as a mezzala. And he hasn't played as a mezzala since what? 2019? 2018? I mean, this guy has played every position except striker and goalkeeper. And this is not going to make sense, but it's extraordinary how unextraordinary he actually is. And I mean that as a compliment.
And he's gonna, he's closing in on 200 appearances for the club. Okay, so in less than five years.
Yes.
So there you go.
Exactly.
That says a lot about how somebody like Cristante has been key to Roma in these years. And I don't know if you wonder what they would have done without him, or would they have been better off, you know.
Well, the thing too is, listen, anytime a new manager arrives at a club or a new director, sporting director, they won't be given carte blanche to do whatever they want. But of course, they are going to be able to make and implement some changes. Andy, this guy has survived how many different regimes now? Three,
Di Francesco, four? Then Francesco. Interim, Ranieri, Fonseca, and Jose Mourinho. That's four.
And there you go. And as you said, all of them have not only played this guy, but have relied upon this guy for a variety of roles on the pitch, off the pitch. And it really is amazing to me because, again, anytime we publish something in regards to Cristante, I mean, you would think that the guy, was at the level of, who's really bad? I'm trying to think of somebody like extraordinarily bad. Baruso, I don't know. Like, nobody comes to mind right away who was astoundingly bad. But they put him at that level, which is so confusing to me. Yes, I am guilty of having made fun of this guy, and I think part of it does have to do with the fact that he does not stand out at one thing. Andy, he's not technically gifted. He's not quick. He's not a great in the air.
But when he manages to, like, to rid the opponent of the ball or to launch the ball, in a way that reminds you of, I know it's terrible to say, but Francesco Totti, really sometimes, like, he does these no-look passes, just long balls forward that cut through the opponent's defense. When it works, that's when magic happens. The unfortunate thing is that he's been played so out of his position, so just all over the place. That, I mean, with Fonseca, I think in the latter stages, he played more as a center back
than
as a midfielder. Yes. So again, it is a very bizarre phenomenon, but I think it speaks more to his importance off the pitch, his personality, the reputation among teammates. And ultimately, for coaches, they always need reference points. And Mourinho has always been a coach that has a reference point, and he's sticking to that reference point. And evidently, Cristante is it. He represents something that all these managers hang on to. And in the long run, perhaps it's important. Perhaps it will work. I think fans are always, we are always exposed to what we're seeing on the TV, on our screens. So that's as short term as it gets. And I think managers and people working for a club usually look at these things, at the players, like a long-term investment, more or less. So maybe that's what Cristante is all about. That's the mystery. I think we are on to writing a book about him once this podcast goes into the history records. The Cristante book, I think, is going to be written and edited by John Solano and Andy Mattioli.
I would absolutely write that. I mean, you can absolutely help me, because I have been late to this party. You know, I just laugh too, because I compare the way a guy like Cristante, and this is a guy I always pick on, and whether or not it is fair or warranted, I will let others be the judge. But I compare the way he is discussed versus somebody like Paredes, a guy who for some reason has been given a free leeway on social media to be talked about as if he's a regista at the level of Pirlo or something. A guy who absolutely sucks and was only given a career because of Vine. But you compare the way he's discussed versus Cristante, okay? And it is as if you are talking about guys, one who plays for Serie C Vicenza versus a guy who plays for Juve. It's just interesting to me because, let's be honest, too, I think a lot of it does have to do with these either preconceived notions of Cristante or maybe the willingness to overlook some of the things that he does do. I know it's easy to sort of be dismissive of some of the defensive duties that he does or even the things in possession, because I would say if there is one thing he does excel at, he is very good in sort of providing balance, keeping the ball, interceptions as well. What he does, though, and the way he plays, it is not flashy. I could not think of a guy less flashy than him. You're not going to have the 5 or 6 year old child. Okay, you know, we all want it to be, you know, Shevchenko, Totti, whoever. I can't think of many 5 or 6 year olds thinking, you know, who I want to be, Brian Cristante. Even his name, like, it's just bland. Very
He's
bland.
Canadian. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it as a put down. I just meant it's weird. he's Canadian, and he played in Benfica. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great story. He was given a chance to debut under Massimiliano Allegri. Like, what? You know? I mean, it's
right. He was like 17. And by the way, when I was doing the thing about when Pepe Riso was telling everybody of this the last couple of weeks, maybe it's just one of those things that I knew of, and perhaps you see it written in front of you and it hits you or makes it all the more real. I cannot believe that he is still only 27 years old. I don't know how that's even possible. I thought for sure he would be coming upon 30 any day now, yet somehow he has completely gone under the radar as one of those guys who we are always incorrect on their actual age. Astounding to me that he's not even, he's not 28 in March. How is that possible? I can't make sense of it at all. At all.
We just spent talking more about Cristante than the Inter game.
The
international break is all about, you know, you finally are confronted with the various dimensions of football. And one of the dimensions of Roma is Brian Cristante, who deserves a whole segment of a podcast episode.
Okay, admittedly, I did not know that he's from Pordenone, but now the whole Brian and the Cristante part makes sense now that I am seeing where he is born. So it makes all the sense because other than Veneto, Friuli is the only other place in the country where you will see less than expected Italian surnames. So that completely paints a clearer picture for me. Okay, so now back to Inter very quickly. They're getting a result.
Are
right?
they? Are they? Oh my God.
We're not
God.
Going to
you
do
just
a prediction.
Threw it like that? I didn't.
No. Oh, hold on. Let me rephrase. It's going to be difficult. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. I just cannot imagine.
Are they in a position to get a result? That's the question. I think so, yes.
Well, so far this season, okay? Yeah, yeah, all of their matches,
I agree. But ultimately, I think this is going to be a really ugly piece of work. It's going to be something like 1-1 with both teams just looking really nervous and fragile because each team is afraid of making a mistake, costly mistake. And then you know, you have the wonderful duo of Massa and Mazzoleni. So that's going to be an Oscar night of just absolute trash refereeing.
With Massa, it's always
you got Mazzoleni. So I mean, it's like this is like the heat of refereeing. This is like that scene in Heat where Al Pacino and Robert De Niro just share the screen for like 5 minutes, talking about how they're just very similar in a lot of ways, despite that Robert De Niro is a robber and Al Pacino is a policeman. And this is that's Massa and Mazzoleni. They are the tour de force duo of Serie A refereeing. So what better way to return from international break?
Yeah, my only fear though is with these, and the patron group is really the way I get a temperature gauge on just not only society in general, but the way Roma supporters are feeling is through the patron group. I fear what happens if there's a negative result, because matches like this are obviously taken so much more hard. My general thought, though, is if they keep creating chances at this level, now, I know it is Roma, and as we've seen season after season, okay, Roma has defied basic science, geometry, maths, you know, any sort of science or other discipline, Roma, of any of the clubs in the world, particularly Serie A, they are capable of defying even the most basic of scientific and mathematic laws. So part of me says, if they continue to create chances at this level, there is just no possible way that they will continue to waste and miss chance after chance after chance after chance, like we saw against Atalanta. Now, I may be fooling myself into actually thinking this, but it's not as if, Andy, we are watching them, as I mentioned this too in my post-match reaction to Atalanta, it is not as if this is the days of Rudy Garcia, where they can't create anything. They could play for 500 plus minutes, and they won't even come close to sniffing a goal. It's not even remotely close to that situation. It's we are creating so much and we are wasting at an equal level. I just can't imagine that continues. The law of large numbers.
I agree.
The more you do something,
something has to happen. There has to be a breakthrough. I said it from the beginning that, yes, it's worrying, but there has to be a moment. You have so much quality up front that there has to be that moment. There has to be the instance where everything goes right and you're allowed to cheer and be happy and be proud because you've finally done what you were supposed to do. You get rewarded for creating so many opportunities. You get rewarded for playing well.
Yes.
It has to happen. At some point, it has to happen. This is not a team that lacks talent, a team that lacks quality, a team that lacks firepower. All players up front can score. It has to happen at some point. Hopefully it happens against an Inter that has been shaky in the defense. This is once again the perfect opportunity. You're going into a really hostile environment. You're facing a team that is also dealing with a lot of difficulties. It's your chance to shine. Yes. It's your chance to shine for a lot of players on an individual level and on a team level. This is it.
Yeah, and two, I mean, we're talking of negative results. I mean, Roma, obviously, hard done against Atalanta. But Inter, they had their problems with Udinese, who, at some point, we will have to we will have to have a discussion about them, because what they are doing is, I mean, nothing short of unbelievable. I still can't wrap my mind around what they are achieving at the moment. It is nothing short of spectacular, but we will get to that another time. Okay, we will be back after the match against Inter. Fingers crossed. That's all I can say. Fingers crossed. We're not going to do predictions. We're not going to do any of that, other than make everybody aware that Pordenone, it's been activated as to whether or not. I haven't checked. Is Dzeko?
Yeah, yeah. He's starting. He's starting with Lautaro. Yeah?
Ah, okay. Yeah, no shock there. Okay, everybody. We will be back in a few days after the match against Inter. Until then. Ciao.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.